we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the BBC News website, read by Harriet Cass.
Camilla, Duchess of Cornwall, has launched the HMS Astute, the Royal Navy's new nuclear submarine, at the shipyard where she was built.
Well, our thanks to everyone who sent that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Amanda Iannucci. And opposite them on my left, Jeremy Hardy and Anne Corran. Francis, which dead man walking challenged a feral beast?
It's under a fortnight until he goes. He's D-mob happy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Tony Blair, the ex-Prime Minister, is, I think he's a bit cross with us. Well, with the media. I suppose we're the media. He says we're a feral beast. We're a giant, flesh-eating squid. We have the head of a parrot and, I don't know, the tail of a spiny anteater or something. And we go around lashing him with our mighty tentacles and gobbling up all these blameless politicians who are just doing their public duty by selling peerages and bribing Saudi princes. He's not very pleased about it. In fact, he's quite cross. And he thinks he can say this now because he's D-mob happy and he doesn't need the media anymore. But he doesn't realise this. In 2 weeks' time, he's out of a job. And he'll be on the blow to the BBC. So I just wonder if, you know, I can feel the News Quiz or something.
We've got standards, you know.
Never read Frankenstein? I mean, we made him, and now he's turning on us and stomping like down the hill with Igor to destroy us all. It's very strange, isn't it? Blair, of all people, should attack the media.
Also, pretty rich for him to talk about feral beasts, a man who has as his Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott. It's all about beams and moats.
No, he said there was too much comment and analysis and not enough statement of fact. So I think we should just stick to facts this evening.
Just go straight for the facts all the way through.
That was good. It'll be like quote-unquote, hasn't it?
Mr. Blair, our Prime Minister, the last time I believe I should be required to utter those words, criticised Britain's sensationalist media in a speech calling for a shake-up of the various media regulators. Blair's criticism of the media took up the first 3 pages of The Independent. In The Times, it had 2 pages. In The Telegraph, it was only half a page. And in The Sun, it was inside a speech bubble next to a rather well-built girl called Keely. He's apparently from Bermondsey. Amando, have a listen to this.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
It's a man's world. Why, however, might it be the end, Amando, for man's bunker mentality?
Man's
Why can't men be left alone?
Ruth Kelly is introducing new equality rules, which mean that women at golf clubs will have equal rights for men, which means they'll be allowed to breastfeed while
they play
golf.
Yes.
On the dog leg fourth, you mean? That's their shape enough.
Until now, only men could do.
That's strange.
Just nothing for your swing, I have to say. If you're not careful, you can have your eye out.
as long as they replace the divot, obviously.
Yes.
It's suddenly all coming back to me. This is, yes, and yes, Ruth Kelly. Give me a point. Why is it Ruth Kelly is the only person I know who, even though she's married, still looks like a spinster?
Well, the bit I don't understand is if you can breastfeed your baby in a cafe, what about all those signs that say you can only eat food prepared on the premises?
But they charge you corkage, obviously.
Corkage?
Yes. But you can only feed from the breasts of the cafe owner.
I think men can lactate, can't they?
Actually, men don't lactate, they dictate. I think you'll find.
No, boy, when
can
they...
I just give it? No, just a second. There's a point there to Francis, but quite simply the best feminist answer I've heard in a very long time. From a boy, I thought it was fantastic.
There is an obscene pun, I'm very sorry.
Jeremy said that because he's been trying to show Jermaine Grey for the last 30 years.
I'm going to keep control of you all. The Single Equality Bill contains new proposals to tackle discrimination against female golfers, breastfeeding mothers and disabled tenants, which is terrific news if you are a one-legged plus-forward mum with a new baby who lives in a tower block. The proposals were unveiled by the Community Secretary, Ruth Kelly. She was criticised... Really? She was... How? Personally, I won't hear a word against her. Anyway, 2 points for that. And bless her for her firm stance. Jeremy, why does pupil plus policy equal PC squared?
Oh, Civitas. Be wary of anything that ends in ass. Civitas, veritas, Hamas. That's a Latin sentence meaning all-round mentalists. Civitas are a right-wing think tank, which means they sit in a tank. And they come up with, they think. And they think, what do you think happens in schools these days? And I said, I don't know, let's think about it. And then they produce a report about what they think happens in schools, which bears no relation to the truth. And they think that it's, well, the problem is trendy teachers. They're not teaching children things that they should learn. But, I mean, I'm glad that they're abolishing coursework, which is another thing that's happened this week. They decided to abolish coursework, which means homework, effectively, for children doing GCSEs and A-levels, because it just puts enormous pressure on parents' coursework, really. I was very pleased, you know, with my A star for my essay about the American Civil Rights Movement.
You do find yourself at home waiting for the homework to come back and going, how did we do?
I know. When I just got a B, I said, what? I've got a degree. You don't tell me I've got a B at GCSE level.
I'm doing quite well. I've asked for more.
Coursework row is not about parents doing it. The kids come back and they go to Wikipedia and they write essays about how Henry VIII shot Liberty Valance. it upsets teachers enormously when they all do it, when the entire class believes that World War II started in 1066 when Hitler's eye fell out. I
mean, it's tempting with that Wikipedia to just write in any old rubbish, isn't it? Joan of Arc, Noah's wife, you know. See how long it takes for it to disappear.
I love Wikipedia because it's got my age wrong, makes me a year younger. And then somebody corrected it, and I corrected it back to a year younger. Every morning, I get up. First thing I do, I have a cup of tea and go up to the machine and see how old I am that day.
I'm still going to change it this evening when I get home.
So can you just alter it completely?
Yeah.
Say Martin Luther King was the one who burnt the spider while hiding in the oak tree and things like that.
Yeah,
his wife, Billie Jean.
Was my lover.
Friar Tuck was Prime Minister during the Second World War.
A report for the independent think tank Civitas has accused the government of dumbing down state education by replacing fact-based learning with a curriculum obsessed with political correctness. Now, the drive for race equality has led one example to produce a list of modern poems without a single poet from England or Wales. Isn't that unbelievable? Shakespeare must be turning in Francis Bacon's grave. Alan, whose food standards have been ever so slightly modified?
About the tomberries. Those very, very tiny tomatoes the size of cherries that Sainsbury's introduced so children will eat tomatoes.
That's correct. It's not, so that's 1 point to Alan.
Just for the possibility of contamination, they're allowing to still be classified organic if it has up to 1% GM.
Yeah.
Crikey, I'm glad I didn't know that.
Well, it's obviously a huge excitement to everybody. All I saw, I didn't read the whole story, was having a look on the train at the paper, and it said, Greenpeace warned this decision, and it was about organic food could lead to a nationwide catastrophe, and I thought, oh my God, Veg Talk is coming back. It turned out not to be that.
Oh, I like Veg Talk.
Did you?
Yeah, I like it because I just know that most Radio 4 listeners hate it. These people are speaking non-RP, and they're speaking live, and they're taking calls on the telephone. We didn't have phones in... If you speak loudly and clearly, you shouldn't need a telephone at all. In the old days, we just used to stand at Alexander Palace and speak very loudly, and the whole country could hear us.
Yeah, but they're talking about courgettes for half an hour.
People obsessed with root vegetables does me in.
They're not root vegetables, they grow above... Oh, you obviously haven't listened to the programme. See, there you go, you're condemning it and you haven't even heard it.
Did you collect all the fact sheets?
It's a kind of squash.
There's been an outcry amongst Green campaigners and not a single person on any of the teams. European agriculture ministers decided food can be labelled organic even if it contains up to 0.9% genetically modified content. EU ministers argued that limiting the GM content to 0.1% would make organic food too expensive and impossible to police. I was thought if anybody knows about things being too expensive and impossible to police, it's the EU. At the end of round one, the scores are that Francis and Armando have got 6 points, just in the lead ahead of Alan and Jeremy, who've got 4. And we start round two with a cutting from the Birmingham Post.
The battle to take over brickmaker Baggeridge Brick has taken a fresh turn, with Austrian rival Weinberger claiming that its bid for the company is the only concrete offer available.
And our thanks to John Hennessy for spotting that. Francis, who is threatening to flambé top chefs?
Oh, it's the Cornish National Liberation Army or something of the sort. They're not a very active organisation. Apparently, they lost...
Don't wind them up, for God's sake. Never accuse terrorists of being insufficiently active, right?
Well, they were last heard of, I think, in about 1980, when they tried to let off a bomb outside a post office in, I don't know, Porthcurno or somewhere, and it didn't go off. And after a bit of regrouping and back to the drawing board, they've come out and said that they're going to attack Jamie Oliver and Rick Stein on the grounds that these people are in Cornwall and shouldn't be, and they should get out while the going is good.
Cornwall's weird. It's the longest county. Yorkshire's the biggest county. Cornwall's the longest. It goes nearly to America. And the further you go, the weirder it gets. You go through Straw Dogs. You go through Deliverance. And somewhere down past St. Burien, you're in an amateur production of Annie. And people go and live there because of the crime in London, because in Cornwall there's less smugging, more savage ritual murder. Fewer stabbings, more smotherings. Your baby appears to be left-handed, Mrs. Trelawney. I wouldn't feed it if I were you.
You're not planning a holiday in Cornwall, is it?
Got a gig coming up in St. Ives, in fact. First week of July. I'm terrified out of my mind. I just hope it's all public school surfers and not the locals.
You have to wonder, though, what kind of threats. I mean, what will they do? Chuck a stale pasty through somebody's window? What are they going
to... They're going to try... I think they're trying to burn down the restaurants, which would make a delicious smell.
Cornish National Liberation Army has threatened to firebomb Jamie Oliver and Rick Stein's restaurants to liberate Cornwall from incomers. They've also threatened to firebomb Gordon Ramsay. He doesn't actually have any business connection with Cornwall. They just don't like him. Armand. Who had to watch his step on a walkabout?
George Bush.
Yeah.
He was in Albania.
He was.
And he was shaking hands with the Albanians. The conspiracy theory goes that a man leapt out from a grassy knoll and grabbed his wristwatch. But the Pentagon deny it. They say they've got footage of someone going for Bush's watch and five armed security men in slow motion diving towards his arm and going, no!
No, a White House spokesman said he'd taken it off for sake. I mean, the only thing he knew about Albania was that they nicked things off. And that is really a problem. He put the watch away. And it's a Timex. That's what was wonderful.
Well, five quid Timex. Yeah. But he got very cross about this suggestion, Butch. Oh, President Bush, he had to pose at the White House wearing the watch. It was a bit like, do you remember when Cherie had to hold up Humphrey the Cat to prove she hadn't murdered him? He had to sit there being photographed with the watch on to show it hadn't been stolen. And he was really indignant. Maybe he didn't want to upset the Albanians. He said, this is the most appalling and ridiculous story I've ever seen. It's totally unbelievable. Actually, the really unbelievable thing is the idea that he can tell the time by reading his watch. The big hands pointing upwards, little hands pointing just next to the Mickey Mouse's left ear.
George Bush has denied that his watch was stolen on a walkabout in Albania, although his admission that he took it off has prompted Albanians to accuse him of not trusting them. According to a White House spokesman, the president frequently removes his watch and wedding ring before he works a crowd, a tip he picked up from Bill Clinton. Jeremy, which cabinet crackpot is talking gobbledygook yet again?
Oh, no, it's not Dr. Ruth Kelly again.
It is.
It's your doctor. She should be, shouldn't she? She probably is, Dr. Ruth. She now says that it's bad, it's wrong. She says it's an abomination in the sight of God to translate things for people who can't read English because it makes them lazy and that it's stopping integration having different languages. She says that you don't integrate if somebody tells you something in your own language. I speak English, most things are written in English, and for that reason I've failed to integrate at all in this society. That's true. There's a whole other report out, mostly about East Anglia, saying that East Anglia is having difficulty assimilating people from Poland and Lithuania. Apparently they need lessons in how to queue. They don't know how to queue. And I'm sorry, people from Poland and Lithuania, I think, have forgotten more about queuing than we will ever learn. They've been queuing for 50 years. If they come here and think, I don't really face queuing, you can't really blame them, really. After decades of Stalinism, you'd think that... But this is a myth as well. The idea that all the British... The British, we all queue. You see, the trouble is, these people, these Lombards and Flemings, they arrive in the country, all these Huguenot weavers who are turning up,
And the trouble is, they don't queue. You want to sit queuing? Queuing for buses? Try getting the 159 outside Brixton Station. It's like the last helicopter leaving Saigon. We don't queue in this. We queue until the bus arrives, and then we stab and kill each other to get on.
Community Secretary Ruth Kelly, two mentions in one show, it's not bad, is it? Has called for a... She'll be thinking, I've got a thing for her. Has called for a... I'm going to keep mentioning her until she and I end up in the same courtroom. It'll be such fun. Community Secretary Ruth Kelly has called for a crackdown on official bodies translating documents because she believes it discourages immigrants from learning English. The Community Secretary suggested that savings made in translation services should be reinvested in English lessons for newcomers and settlers. Try telling that to the Welsh. And at the end of round two, Alan and Jeremy have got 8 points, but Francis and Amanda are still in the lead with 10. Before we start round three, here's a cutting from Australia's The Age newspaper.
A misplaced candle started a fire that caused $100,000 worth of damage to the Correction Centre, an S&M club in Inner Melbourne. A fire brigade spokesman said 18 firefighters were tied up for some time. But controlled and disciplined firefighting contained the blaze.
There's something so wonderful about the way you said that, Harrison. Our thanks to Drew Rankin for spotting that. Armando, who wants to help their enemies fly somewhere over the rainbow?
Is this the gay bomb?
It is the gay bomb.
This is the only story I know this week. This is the Americans in the early 90s poured billions of dollars into researching a gay bomb, which, when dropped, would turn the opponents gay.
You made it sound like when it dropped, it went, woo!
You could have a gay raid, couldn't you? You'd have an alarm that went... It's absolutely serious. It was going to release the gas because they were very concerned about wiping out innocent people.
Yeah.
So it was going to release a gas and it would turn the enemy combatants on each other. They would be attracted to each other. But I think they abandoned that in favour of the plan of just wiping everyone out within a one-mile radius of the bomb. I think.
Because it was also, it had an aphrodisiac built into it. It wasn't just the gay. It was a strong aphrodisiac as well in the spray. And so you drop this napalm-like spray on them. So not only are they turning gay, the ones who aren't already, but they're also going to be raving the hungry for some small arms.
for a quick bunker buster.
I'm going to be so sorry I asked this.
Go on.
How did it actually work?
Well, it never got off the drawing board, tragically.
Basically, it was just a little tape recorder playing songs from South Pacific.
So it's sort of like Agent Pink, and you drop it over Vietnam, and everybody is mincing through Saigon, hugging one another, and they're not taking out our boys.
Wilfred Owen would be great. Gay gas, quickly, boys.
It's an airborne aphrodisiac.
Well, aren't they worried about
nothing wrong
fire?
With that.
I think we need to speak to some of the people suffering from Gulf War syndrome. So in addition to the nausea and headaches, do you spend a lot of time in the soft furnishings department of John Lewis?
To see how the ability to accessorize is going to stop you going to war, I don't
know. Oh, that bayonet with that rifle, I don't think so.
Well, a freedom of information request.
Can I just say to our listeners, we are being ironic with all this gay stuff. You know? No, we're not.
A freedom of information request has revealed that in 1994, the US Air Force considered developing a gay spray, an airborne aphrodisiac that would turn its enemies into homosexuals. The secret project was called Harassing, Annoying, and Bad Guy Identifying Chemicals, or for short, Old Spice.
However you slice it, it's still a lot smarter than invading Iraq.
Jeremy, have a listen to this.
What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor early in the morning? Hey, lo, and up she rises. Hey, lo, and up she rises. Hey, lo, and up she rises early in the morning.
Tell you what it is, it's the reason for my wife, Annie's, you know, only letter to the Times, because they tried to ban the song,
And she wrote explaining what it was really about, because it was the women of Portsmouth, and it's a song about impotence. What should we do with the drunken sailor? And early in the morning, and then tickle him in the rumble till the something happens, and then it's hey, hey, and up she rises, and that's all it's about. It's all about that. The drunken sailor. It's like Brewer's Droop. The drunken sailor refers to something other than drunken sailors.
It's a sort of pre-Viagra song.
Exactly.
Jeremy, why is it now yo-ho-ho and a bottle of Perrier?
They are going to breathalyze people on boats. See if they're drunk. I think they should breathalyze people on jet skis, just because it's a stupid thing to do, to try and ride a motorbike on the sea. Why can't people just sit and look at the sea? I was down on the coast the other day in Shoreham, and there was this kite surfing. As though the sea isn't a magnificent thing to sit by and just sort of get all sort of weird and think about the magnitude of life and the universe. You think, I know, I will get a kite, and then I will hold onto the kite while standing onto a bit of fiberglass and stand. I know you've got difficulty forming relationships, but for God's sake, can't you just sit down for a second? Oh, there's the sea. I'll nail my genitals to a barbecue set and then ride a zebra into the water while holding a zeppelin. It just frustrates me. Why can't people just leave water alone and stop trying to do things with it?
I was at Eastport at the weekend. I was doing a show down there. All these couples, elderly couples, who had parked their cars so that the front of the car is facing the sea, and they're sitting in the boot, eating their sandwiches. They're not even... Look, what is that?
That's an English picnic. Welcome to our country, Stanley.
But it's not just any... It's not sort of official sailors. It's pleasure.
Amateur sailors.
It's amateur sailors.
Sailors. Yeah. Gentlemen sailors.
But everyone expects jet skis, actually, because there's all these boats, you know, chug along at four knots and you get done. But jet skis, they can't do, because there's a man called Transport Minister. I mean, talk about Ruth Kelly. He's called Stephen Ladyman. he says that they want to do jet skis, which do whiz along and kill people, but they can't because they're not classified as boats. Apparently, they're vegetables or something.
They just put speed bumps in lakes.
Yeah. That's what manatees are. They're nature's speed bumps. No, but seriously, though, seriously, all these people out on speedboats and jet skis, they are laying waste to our marine fauna by slashing them up with their propellers, aren't they?
But you can't stop people sailing when they're drunk. You decimate the pedalo industry. Is it really?
I think we pedalos should be on registers, and we should know if, if they're on our tons.
Yes, indeed. The question is, what shall we do with the drunken sailor? Having very nearly run out of things to legislate on, the government has been forced to turn to the world of children's rhymes. And we look forward to the guidelines about overcrowding in shoes. Pleasure boat owners can soon be stopped and breathalysed after the government imposed strict plans limiting the consumption of alcohol by sailors. River police will use a new breed of breathalysers that is accurate to 0.1% and also tests for scurvy. Alan, who is not forever blowing bubbles?
Well, I mean, this follows on from the previous question. It gets dafter and dafter. And you can't believe it's real. I honestly can't believe I'm actually saying this is a bloke called Mr. Turner, but he's also Barney the Clown, as he would be.
Because Barney Baloney.
That's a serious stage name, is it? Yeah. Anyway, Barney Baloney.
You can't see the
has one of those little wire things you blow soap bubbles through. He's a children's entertainer. It's surprising, really. Barney Baloney, he's expecting to be something else. But what he is, he's a... Barney Baloney the Clown actually is a children's entertainer, but he can't entertain children with those things that blow bubbles, because they might explode near children and they might fall over. These enormously obese children he turns up to entertain would be terrified to see a soap bubble. Much of their own bodies they haven't seen over the years, and certainly haven't soaped them. His birthday parties he turns up at, he's not going to be allowed to use fairy liquid.
Well, it's been refused insurance by several companies because the bubble machine may cause a soapy residue that'll cause youngsters to slip and fall over.
Yeah. Soapy residue is another children's entertainer.
Yes.
I remember soapy residue used to come out our house.
If they were that efferent with that word about children's safety, they wouldn't book a clown, would they? I think it's time that clowns were given the opportunity to opt for chemical castration, really.
We should be able to hunt clowns with dogs, shouldn't we?
I think so. There is something wrong. Years and years ago...
With enormously flapping fat feet to give the clown something of a chance.
We were once reined in at a hotel in Devon, and the hotel laid on children's entertainment. One guy came on and he did juggling, and he had this large metal table with lots of objects on it, and he said to the kids, right, name that an object and I will balance it on my nose. Our little boy just went, the table. And the guy was determined not to back down, so he picked up the metal table and bounced it on his nose and looked very, very sore.
A clown called Barney Bellaney has had to stop blowing bubbles as part of his Children's Entertainer Act after he was refused insurance by several companies. His real name, Tony Turner, said, kids eat jelly and ice cream and that gets on the floor and is slippy. Does anyone want to stop them eating that? No. No one is suggesting firing it out of a machine directly into their faces either. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. Ween.
This is an advertisement, a job vacant ad. Sewerage operative, 7 Trent Water. We are looking, ideally, for a flexible and enthusiastic individual, preferably with previous experience of sewerage systems. You will be a team player with the ability to work on their own initiative. You must be able to swim.
Armando.
I've got an item of local news featured in the Bury Times, sent in by Basil Herbold, and it's just a headline. It says, OAP fell from traffic island and wasn't struck by car.
Jeremy.
Let us cater for your every need. Raffles Restaurant specialises in catering for weddings, birthday parties, anniversaries. Do you have a special occasion coming up? The ambience in our theatre bar provides an excellent setting for a funeral reception.
Alan.
Sandy, this is from the Sheffield Star. And says, singles, if you reach the point when you think your social life is as boring as it gets, come along to Eccles Hall 18 to 30 Club and let us prove you wrong.
Let's take a look at the final score. Alan and Jeremy have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Francis and Amanda with 14 points. Before we leave you, here's a story from the BBC News website.
Following a pub row, Emma Thomason of Whitehaven loaded her fiancé's van with his belongings and rolled it off a ramp into the town's marina. Jason Wilson said, she put every last item of clothing I had in the back of the van. All I was left with were the clothes I'm wearing. He added, I haven't told her yet that the wedding's off, but I think she can put two and two together.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz are Francis Lee, Amanda Iannucci, Jeremy Hardy and Alan Cohen. In the chair is Sandy Toxic and the news is read by me, Harriet Cass. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Roger Crooks, Simon Littlefield and Danielle Ward, with additional material by Luke Roberts. The producer was Ed Morris.